Amen.
Amen. Well, good evening, brothers. It's great to be with you all tonight. I think I'm probably the only guy standing up for midweek right now, but you got to stand when you're preaching. You can lay in bed and listen to midweek, but you can't lay in bed and preach the word. So I'm going to be standing up here, but I am excited to be able to preach the word tonight with you guys. And then after this lesson, we're going to break up into groups of about seven people or so to have some short discussion from the lesson and then close out with somebody praying. But, you know, you can open up in your Bible to Psalm 119. If you're familiar with that psalm, then know that we're not going to read the whole thing. We're just going to read part of it. So you can go to Psalm chapter 119. You know, I am grateful that Russ was able to just read that announcement. I am definitely grateful for a nationwide, in Canada, nationwide day of lament and prayer and fasting over the evils of injustice and racism in our world, and for us to be praying and fasting too for unity in the church in these areas, and also for us to shine as a light to the world in this area. And so let's definitely join in as a united body on August 12th and that day of lament and prayer and fasting. And so the last time we were together 2 weeks ago, Larry did a lesson about prayer, and then we prayed together. And prayer is so important for us all the time, but especially during hard times, to go and to talk to God. And tonight, I want to kind of complete the cycle of that, starting with prayer, us talking to God. And tonight, I want to talk about the other side of that, which is us listening to God, which is us getting into the Word of God and being in our Bibles. And I know that's super basic, but it's also super essential. We really got to be people of prayer, and we've really got to be a people of the Word, right? That I'm a man that I'm a man of God means that I'm a man of God's Word. And so I do want to just share some good news off the bat that pertains to God's Word. Since January of this year, despite everything that's happened, 14 college students have been baptized in our New Jersey campus ministry, which is incredible considering quarantine, campus is closed, everything else going on. And some of these baptisms have been super special. Some of them are, Kingdom kids who grew up in the church. And some of them are people who were met for the first or even just the second time in person at their baptism. And so some of these people were studied with almost entirely over the computer and then kind of seen each other in person for just the first or second time at the baptism. And so these have been super powerful times, and it's been an exclamation mark for me on the scriptures that tell us nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, and that the Word of God is powerful, and that the Word of God does not come back empty, that we could be in such a crazy circumstance and in a whirlwind of issues, and yet still the Word of God is continuing to spread God's grace to more and more people. You know, the Word of God is powerful. It encourages us. It comforts us. It corrects us. It rebukes us. It trains us. It teaches us. You guys know 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says that through using God's Word to do those things, we can be men of God who are thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so there's been times in quarantine with the racial issues going on where I've definitely felt desperate of, God, what do I do? What is right? What do I say? What do you think about this? And at times I've felt at a loss, or I've felt totally confused. And then I've remembered 2 Timothy 3 is a beacon of hope that says that God's word is useful to make us thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so everything we need to better understand God's heart towards these issues, to how to be Christians in these situations, what to do, what to believe, all of that God has answered in his word, and we need to go there. And so in Psalm 119, I want to read verses 105 to 112. You guys know this is the longest chapter in the whole Bible, and I think it's no coincidence that the whole thing is about how special the Bible is and about how valuable it is and how important it is to obey and follow the word of God. So I'm going to read verse 105 to 112. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. My life constantly hangs in the balance, but I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. You know, this first part says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. Brothers, we've got to have the conviction that without the Bible, we are blind and we are walking blindly. But we also need to know that when we turn to God's word, a lamp turns on. That it's dark, but as soon as we open the Bible, it's like a light, like the sun has just dawned on the horizon. The light has turned on. And so my main point for us tonight is that we need to hold to God's word. We need to hold to God's word with a firm grip and not be loose on the word of God. I really think that with all that's going on, God's word cannot get quieter. The voice that matters most cannot be a voice we hear the least. And as the world tries to shake us and break us, we must hold to the word of God to stand strong through the storms. Now, I love in the book of Peter, 1 Peter, where Peter says about the Bible, you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place. And I've always loved that line, you will do well to pay attention to it. You know, I know looking at my life, and brothers, I'm sure you can relate, it has done me so much good. It's done me so well to pay attention to God's word. When I don't tune God out or shut God's voice out, it helps me so much to believe the right thing, to be the man I need to be, the disciple I need to be, the husband, the father, the friend. The word of God, it does us so well when we pay attention to it. But we've got to pay attention to it. We can't ignore it or set it aside or give it seldom attention. We've got to pay close attention to the word of God. The word of God teaches us how to make our life count for eternity, how to know what's right and wrong, how to develop character, a compassionate heart, how to live with wisdom, how to forgive, how to build healthy relationships, how to find rest for our soul, and so much more. Certainly, we will do well to pay attention to God's word. We've got to know that when we don't see through the lens of Scripture, when we don't filter the way that we live and walk and see with Scripture, our vision gets blurry. When we're not seeing through God's eyes, we're seeing blurry. You know, our human nature can come back so quickly into the picture. And the worst part is we don't even always recognize when it's happening, or we don't even always realize we're wrong when we are wrong. And that's why God's word is needed to correct us and to shed light on our path. You know, this is kind of an embarrassing story for me, but I wear contacts, and so either glasses or contacts. My glasses are incredibly thick, and so I've got these contacts in. And a lot of you guys probably know how this goes. Some of you I see are wearing glasses, so you definitely know. But when you go to get your eyes checked, you sit there and they put this machine in front of you, and you just spend time going through one or two, A or B. And sometimes you're like, oh, definitely A. And other times you're like, I don't know, they're both the same, or B. And you're just kind of guessing your way through it, right? And so 2 or 3 years ago, I go to get an update on my prescription, and I'm sitting there and the thing's in front of me, the display is on the wall. And, you know, I'm going through the list of different characters and symbols, letters and numbers. And she's, you know, okay, read the third row to me, read the fourth row to me. And so I'm going through them, and, you know, I'm doing okay. There's you know, different letters, numbers. And then she's like, okay, what's the next one? And I'm staring at it and I cannot figure out what it is. And it's a little blurry and I'm staring at it and I'm like, I don't know. It's a backwards E. And so she was like, okay, move on. And it comes up a few more times. And I was like, oh, it's that backwards E again. And by the end, I was saying it pretty confidently. I was like, the backwards E. And so we end the test and everything, and I'm leaving. And as I'm leaving, it finally occurs to me that the backwards E was the number 3. And I'm driving home, and I'm laughing, and I'm embarrassed, and I'm thinking to myself, I must have sounded so stupid to this woman, backwards E, like I was 6 years old or something. And it just occurred to me, my gosh, my vision was a little bit blurry, and something as clear as a three, I couldn't totally recognize, and I was wrong about. And so this backwards E the whole time was the number three. You know, I think we've got to realize sometimes this is the way it is when we're not really getting into the Bible regularly. You know, I was so wrong, and I got to a place where I was so comfortable about it. But once I could see clearly, it all made sense to me, and I knew what it was and what was right. But that's us without God's direction, right? We can, in our human nature and from influence from the world, we can so easily be wrong and yet become so sure of ourselves. And so we need the scriptures to get us seeing straight. God's word gets us into proper focus. It's the ultimate corrective lens. And so knowing that my eyesight is bad, knowing my sight is bad and even dangerous for me to go a day without corrective lens, why would I ever wake up and decide to go about my day without putting my glasses on or my contacts in? I would never make that choice, right? I would be choosing a drastically hindered day filled with high risk of misunderstanding, mistakes, and being just flat out wrong. Right? But that's what we do when we get up and we go a day without God's word. Or we read God's word in the morning, but then we go about our day, and as soon as we get busy or we get upset or temptation comes, we totally forget what we read and we forget what God has said. We lose that corrective lens. Now, brothers, I want us to reflect. Do you know, what's your conviction? Do you know that your heart and mind need God's voice as a corrective lens every day? And does your practice of Bible study each day reflect that conviction? Right? Do you start your day reading your news feed or the good news? Do you diligently dissect the scriptures like you do other messages, emails, or texts, or articles? We need to diligently study the Word of God to get us seeing straight. You know, some things I believe are true is that getting the word in us gets the worldliness out of us. If we could get the word in, we could get the world out. You know, somebody said to me recently, the worse shape your Bible is in, the better shape its owner is in, right? The more used your Bible is, the stronger you are. We've got to be in our Bibles using the word of God. You know, here's the thing, guys, is being in the word helps us not step into snares that are set up for us. Psalm 119 said, "The wicked or my enemies have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts." Guys, you got a picture. When you wake up in the morning, it's like your day, your bedroom, out into, you know, the walkway to your car, where you work, right? All around our house, there are snares like mousetraps set up for us that we can step into. The wicked have set up snares for us, right? And we certainly have human adversaries setting up snares for us, right? But then we also have our enemy, Satan, who is the father of lies, and he sets up snares for us, things he tries to get us to listen to or tries to get us to believe, right? That we can fall into the snares of our enemy, of our sinful nature, our temptation. The things our sinful nature tries to bring us back to or tries to get us to listen to, right? And here's the thing, guys, is when I'm not careful, when you're not careful, we can easily fall back into these snares, these different traps that are set up for us. Right now, I can easily fall back into traps and snares of following my feelings, my desires, my opinion. I could fall into believing lies or half-truths instead of really following God's word. And I want to share a relevant example here just pertaining to the racial climate and issues going on. And the truth is, I have always been more comfortable not talking about race and racism. And at times, when I was confronted with any sort of maybe unconscious bias or anything racial I said maybe wasn't intended to be, but was, or was a joke or something that wasn't appropriate. Anytime I've ever been confronted with that, my most common reaction has been to be defensive. So race and racism is something I'm more comfortable naturally not talking about. And something, when it's called out in me, I'm more naturally going to be defensive and prideful and put up walls about. And so this is a snare I can easily fall into. And guys, a lot of things have been helping me. I've read multiple books in the last few weeks, couple months. I've listened to so many podcasts, YouTube videos, lectures, a lot of conversations. And all of that, I feel like, is still just dipping my toe into this world that I have so much more to learn about. But I will say this, that I really think as a Christian, the scriptures I've been studying have been helping me more than anything else I've read or listened to with this. The Bible has been calling me to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. The Bible has been calling me to be humble and not to be prideful. It's been calling me to carry others' burdens, to do to others as I would do to myself, and to not think of myself more highly than I ought. These scriptures from God have helped me not step in some of these snares for me more than anything else has. And I want to hold to those scriptures. And so if we stick to God's word, we won't stray into snares, but we'll walk in the light and we'll be able to be a light to the world and to others. I love this passage tells us we can navigate around the snares set up for us if we know God's precepts. His precepts are his teachings, his commands, his principles. And so we've got to know those. But the only way for us to really know these scriptures, to avoid these snares, and to live the way Jesus wants us to, is we've got to be intentional about getting time into the Word of God. If we're not getting in the Bible, then the Bible's not getting into us. In James chapter 1, verse 25, the Bible says, "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, continuing to do so, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." This talks about looking intently into the Word of God. It calls God's Word the perfect law that gives freedom. It says that we've got to continue to do this, and then we've got to not forget what we've heard, and then we've also got to do it. We've got to put it into practice. Brothers, there is way too much at stake in our world, in the church, in your life, in your family, for us to have poor, weak times in the Bible on the regular, right? And I understand if a day goes by and exceptional things come up, we're not talking about being legalistic about this, but we are talking about having a heart that is set on holding to the Word of God and a conviction that if I'm not getting God's Word into my heart and into my mind, I will step into snares. Right? And so we've got to look intently because there's far too much at stake if we don't. We need good Bible. All right. And there is a difference. We don't just need Bible. We need good Bible. People have used the Bible to do a whole bunch of bad stuff. Right? All over history, people have misused the Bible. So it's not even just enough to have Bible. We've got to have good Bible. We've got to have good Bible study. Let me give just a few practicals on what that means. First of all, no Bible is not good Bible. So flat out, we just need a conviction. I've got to read my Bible. Just hands down, inexcusable. I can't just listen to a song and say that was my quiet time. That might set you up for your quiet time, supplement your quiet time. But as nice as their voice is, it's not the voice of God. We've got to get into the Bible, and we've got to have good Bible, we've got to actually read it. I would say this too, that we can't have short and shallow times in the Bible. Right? And define long, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. It might vary person to person if you're retired or not, what quarantine is like for you. But what I'm talking about is just 2 or 3 minutes cannot cut it. Reading the Bible for 2 minutes, opening up the app and going, what's the verse of the day? Oh, great verse. If you're not spending more than 30 seconds or a minute, I guarantee it did not puncture any much past your skin to get to the heart and to the mind. We need to meditate. We need to spend time in the Word of God and go deeper, not be shallow in our study of God's Word. We've got to write it on our heart and on our mind, and that takes a little bit of time. I'll say this too, we can't go to the Bible with selective listening. And I think sometimes this happens when we only read parts of the Bible and not other parts. Or we only read the New Testament and not the Old Testament. We only read Psalms, but we don't read the epistles. Right, we've got to make sure we're hearing everything God has to say to us, not always reading the same type of thing. It's good to do topical studies, but if we always do topical studies on the same type of topics, we're not hearing the whole counsel of God. Another thing to have good Bible is we can't have biased Bible reading. You can't read your biases into the Bible, right? I don't know if you've heard these terms before, but two terms that have nothing to do with Jesus, but it sounds like it. Exegesis and eisegesis. These are two study terms. Eisegesis means that you go to the Bible and you put the meaning into the text. You decide what it means. Exegesis is you go to the Bible and you take the meaning out of the Bible. Now, brothers, which one do you think we're supposed to do? Exegesis. We're supposed to exegete the scriptures. We don't get the Bible to say what we want it to. We say what the Bible says. So we can't read our biases. Well, where's a verse that says what I want it to? We need to go, well, what does the verse say? And that's what I need to say, whether it's what I want to or not. Right? We need to pull meaning out of the text. We've got to have good contextual Bible study. What does this verse really mean? What does this verse really say? And so really trying to have good, unbiased, contextual Bible study. You know, I do think spiritual books can be a great supplement. If there's a lot of scripture in it, that's great. This may just be my opinion. I read a lot of spiritual books, but I don't let that take the place of my just reading the Bible, right? I've got to just read the straight up Bible each day and really just listen to God. I view reading a spiritual book as kind of like talking to a brother about something he's learning and learning from him, but that's not the same as me reading directly from God's word. This has been helping me so much. I honestly have had ups and downs in 10 years as a Christian with the depth of my Bible study, but I'm very confident saying that I'm having better times in the Word of God right now than I've ever had as a Christian or in my entire life. You know, and some of these things with justice and race, I've wanted to dig into the Bible. And so I've decided different things like, you know what, instead of just reading one verse about justice, I want to read the whole chapter. I want to read the whole book. I just finished a 4-week in-depth study of the book of Amos. And I chose that book because of a famous passage in it about let justice roll like a river. And I said, you know, I don't want to just know that verse. I want to get the whole book. And I learned so much about justice and about God and about righteousness from studying out that book. So brothers, we've got to have good, deep Bible study. You know, above all the other voices, including our own, we must hear the one who spoke the world into an existence above anyone else. God's word is not a voice or even the louder voice, but God's voice is the voice. The Bible says every word from the mouth of God is flawless, and that's true of nobody else. God is always in a league of his own. He must dominate every conversation. And so, brothers, will you read and care about what God says more than any article, book, post, text, speech, YouTube video, or anything else that you read or listen to? And when we do read and listen to those things, let's learn everything we can from it. But also let's pass it through the filter of scripture and only keep what God agrees with. And I love that when we do hold to God's word, he works miraculously. We've seen it in our own lives and others. The hardest of hearts find submission. Bitter resentment can turn in forgiveness. The lonely find family. Disunity finds unity. The despaired find hope. Miracles happen when we hold to God's word. And that's why James said it's the perfect law. And guys, look, the truth is we may or may not get the laws and the leaders that we want in this world. But through the word, we can decide personally what law we will live by and who our leader will be. And we can continue making the church be the place where God's word is the law and where God is the one who is loved and lived by and followed as Lord more than anyone else. And in doing that, I really think we can and will be the light that the world needs. Guys, in closing, I want to say no matter what happens in your life, in the world, we are disciples first. Jesus is Lord. And that means we do not primarily follow any other person, a political party or politician, a philosophy of this world or any peer. We follow King Jesus. And King Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, if you hold to my teachings, then you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And so brothers, let's really be his disciples. Every day, let's open the Bible and let's sit at Jesus's left and at his right foot and learn from him and hear what he has to say, and then go and hold to his teachings. Put his life into practice. Put his word into practice. He has some amazing teachings that would change the world if we were to hold to them. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love others as yourself. Love your enemy. Do everything without complaining or arguing. See with compassion. Serve to be great. Deny yourself. Put your treasure in heaven. Go make disciples. Look to the interests of others. Trust God. Act justly. Love mercy. Make every effort to keep the unity. Forgive others so God will forgive you. And these are just some of his incredible but challenging teachings. Guys, Jesus talked it and he walked it. The word became flesh. And now we could go to the word and we could be the word lived out in the flesh through our lives and through the church. Brothers, I love being part of this church. This is Jesus's church. We are his people. And so now let's go to God together daily and promise him again, like Psalm 119 said at the end, Lord, my heart is set on keeping your word to the very end. Amen, brothers. Thanks for being here tonight.